Blog Talk Radio.
Would you like me to begin?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay.
Go ahead.
John Ford is a he was a court officer for some 20 years, a retired court officer in the Suffolk County court system. He was a graduate of St. John's University in Queens, and he, when he retired from the Long Island or from the court system, he took up a lifelong interest he had in UFOs and began investigating UFOs, and he did this in conjunction with a man who worked on the Highway Commission. And what started this in this Long Island UFO, or LUFON as it's called, was they were finding mutilated animals along the highway. Now, of course, there's always a certain amount of roadkill, but this was extraordinary roadkill, and this began a series of investigations with John Ford playing the Joe Friday type of character. He's kind of a little bit like Joe Friday, you know, just the facts, ma'am. And he would, you know, begin investigating. And there were crashes in Center Mauritius, which is a part of Long Island. George knows much more about that than I do, in South Haven Park. And there was a lot of swirling about this that occurred. Swirling, I said, in the underground current, because people knew that these things had actually occurred. And John meticulously followed all these events, and he had a very good reputation for being a meticulous investigator for just the facts and talking to witnesses. He never was the person to claim his own sightings or his own abductions. I don't know if he ever even talked about anything like that, because I never heard about it. And Preston Nichols, the author of the Montauk Project books, along with me, was his scientific consultant in LUFON. And Preston aligned himself with John as opposed to other people in the field on Long Island, because he thought, he said, John Ford had a very good reputation as a no-nonsense investigator of this type of phenomena. So John, to carry everything fast forward, I met John in person. John and I knew of each other for a long time when I became involved in the Montauk stuff, but we met, had a meeting at Preston's house shortly before he was arrested about doing a book. He wanted to do a book, and we had a meeting about that, and not too long afterwards, Preston called me and said, there'll be no book. So what do you mean? He says, John Ford was just arrested. And John Ford, Preston and I visited him several times in the Suffolk County Jail. And I remember when he was arrested, Preston had gone over to his house, and I said, look at the search warrant. The search warrant was a day after the arrest, and it was posted on John's refrigerator. That's how they got in to his property and did whatever they did, took whatever evidence that they took, and subsequently we learned that they had planted evidence, according to John, what he just told me yesterday. They showed him pictures of stuff and wanted him to recognize this. He says, no, I can't recognize it, so it was not admitted as evidence. But anyway, John was incarcerated in the Suffolk County Jail. He languished there for over a year without, this is a habeas corpus violation, without any really proper representation. He was a very famous criminal attorney. They tried to get on his case. He wanted too much money. He just couldn't be afforded. But he was the guy who was involved in the sodomy case in Queens, very famous, Marvin Kornberg. He called me, and I told him, I said, this is a problem of jurisdiction. He has to request a change of venue. And Marvin says, absolutely right. He says, no judge would condone what's going on there, would not grant a change of venue. So this was never obtained. It was apparently lamely asked for by his attorney, but I don't know if that's even true. So anyway, this was a huge miscarriage of justice, because they were accusing him of putting radium in the plotting, conspiring to put radium in the toothpaste of the Suffolk County executive, which was John Powell. And John Powell was a political enemy of John Ford. John Ford's mother was involved in the Conservative Party, and politics of Long Island, and John has sort of has a political background by default through his mom, who's passed away now. And John Powell was very politically active. He was the most powerful Republican in Suffolk County. He got Governor Pataki elected, and everybody knew that, and Governor Pataki was very appreciative of this fact. So John Powell was very powerful, but he was an enemy of John Ford, and it all had to do with dumping, illegal dumping in the Brookhaven town dump. And there was a woman who was the log keeper for the town dump, and she showed on local Long Island cable news, Channel 12, she showed this piece of log paper, the log book, saying that she was going to release it, and this is what caused a lot of flurry. And I think they thought John Ford had that log book. And if you talk to Preston Nichols, he'll tell you this is all over the illegal dumping. Well, John Powell was the political pressure behind the arrest of John Ford. And the John Powell ended up in jail himself because, and he passed away under suspicious circumstances just a month or two ago. And John Powell spent time in jail for running a chop shop and also for taking bribes for illegal dumping in the town dump. Now, he was the most high-profile politician in Suffolk County. And I also want to add in here is that many years ago, I was with Preston Nichols and Duncan Cameron, and we were outside of Camp Hero and because they were doing some weird uncovering and digging holes there. This is in 95, I think. And anyway, right around this time, and this dump truck came out without a license plate, and we followed it, and the dump truck started chase going 70 miles an hour, high speed, over 70 miles an hour. I had to break the speed limit to keep up with it until it got in the town of East Hampton, and then it had to stop, and we looked, and he was looking at us, and once I saw he had a license plate on the front, I still would have followed him, and I can only imagine that he was going to Brookhaven Town Dump to dump stuff from Camp Hero, which I believe, upon my belief and other information I've received from multiple sources, none of which I can prove, just other from what people have told me, is that was atomic waste from perhaps from a Bikini Atoll and atomic waste from World War II, where there was toxicity in Camp Hero, which we already know there's toxicity there, but this was.
Where, in Suffolk County or?
In Camp Hero, Montauk, the Montauk Air Force Station. It's called Camp Hero. So it's like we talk about time travel in Camp Hero. Well, there's a lot of other things to Camp Hero besides time travel. There's atomic waste or alleged atomic waste. This is where all the Lyme disease comes from, which is known as Montauk Knee before they changed the name to Lyme disease. The disease was Montauk Knee, and they changed it. You can look that up on the net, but that's a well-known fact where they were putting deer ticks and atomic bombs and infecting the deer ticks with syphilis, the spirochete virus, because deer ticks can withstand an atomic bomb. This was to be put on the Japanese as biological warfare. So there's a multitude of complexity around Camp Hero, including the fact that it was, the sacred Native American ground, which is a whole other story. But anyway, this ties obtusely to the Montauk scene. But John Ford and John Powell was the guy who was in charge of Suffolk County taking this stuff. And John was caught in the crossfire. And why they wanted to arrest him was at least for the town dumping issue, which they thought he had more information than he did. And he was also, he was an aggravant to these people because of his investigations. Now, if we fast forward as to what happened, in recent times, we would think that this might be involved with UFOs because of the way the prosecution has acted. But I would just say that when John Ford was in jail, it created quite a furor because he was in there. He never did receive a trial. To this day, he's not received a trial, and he was he accepted his attorney sort of after he was taken, fed several drugs. And it's unconstitutional to give somebody drugs against their will, but not in New York State. New York State has a law where you can, medicate people to keep them from being nonviolent. John Ford has no history of violence, but it's still a constitutional question. But nevertheless, he's in the power of New York State. And they got him to accept a incompetent plea to where, after he'd been drugged, to where he's in Mid-Hudson Forensic Institute, which is basically for the criminally insane. It used to be called for the criminally insane. They changed the name. But he's not – this is like real violent criminals that he's put in there with, and he is not – has no history of violence. He has an impeccable record as a court officer and as an inmate, by the way. So
now his case was lost or never pursued?
No, it was not lost. It was dropped because he accepted under coercion of and drugs and bad legal advice without a change of venue. And I should add that his former attorney, John Rouse, is now the head of the Highway Commission for Brookhaven Town. That's very ironic. And he also employed John Powell as a consultant to the Highway Department before John Powell passed away, and he hired his two sons. So if there's not corruption involved there, there is the appearance or avenue for corruption to occur. So
let me just ask Rich now. You were part of the I forget the name of this group, the Long Island UFO group. What did you see? And were you with him when this all happened, or were you?
What was his connection with John?
What was your connection, to John?
My connection was that I had been briefly a member of the Long Island UFO Network at the time this went down. I was living on Long Island, living in New York most of my life. I've only been out here in the Southwest for the last 5 years. And I remember seeing this whole thing go down at the time, and I could even see the reaction of all of the all the news correspondents, including News 12 Long Island, who all basically went to bed with this while smirking as they were reporting this. I mean, you could see it on their faces as they were talking about it. They looked like, in the back of their mind, they wanted to say, why the hell are we reporting this crap, okay? And because they all knew it was bullshit coming out of the district attorney's mouth, whose name was at the time James Catterson, who is now dead. And rightly so, I think he died from cancer or heart disease or something. You know, what comes around goes around. And I didn't at the time, I didn't know John Ford as well as Peter Moon did or George Dixon did, but I had met him on a few occasions at local seminars and conferences and group meetings. It was Peter who, you know, over the years has kept me in the loop on what's happening. And then one day, over the years, things go out of your mind. I'm out here on the Southwest. As they say, what happens in New Mexico stays in New Mexico. And it's a different world out here. Who cares? But all of a sudden, I get a phone call back at the, I think it was the beginning of, end of February, from George Dixon. And who I've always stayed in touch with as well. And all of a sudden, he starts talking to me about this John Ford case again. And it was like a blast from the past. All of a sudden, the last 16 years caught up with me in a flash. And everything that Peter Moon had told me over the years came back in a snap. And my first reaction was, he's still in there? What the hell? Okay? I mean, what gives here? I thought this was done and over with. But no.
Let me explain one thing, if I can, Rick. It's funny. I talk with John, and I go right there and I see him. He's not too far from where I live in Central New York.
Right.
He asked me. I told him that Leo and I have been doing this Blog Talk Radio now for about 4 years. Lila, Leo, how long has it been?
Oh, it's been since 2006, but, you know, I think we started having you on in 2007, so it's been about 5 years.
Yeah.
And we had the FM show for 8, but, yeah, this one, about 6 years, or 5 years. Five or 6 years.
Yeah.
November 2006, I think, was when our first show.
Yeah.
But nevertheless, George, you had mentioned, and that's why I think Rich and Pete were so involved too, because you had mentioned to me that John Ford had discovered a UFO that had landed somewhere on Long Island. And he had this information, and on top of all the other problems that were involved, but he was putting out this newsletter and stuff, and
Peter said he was going to write a book.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden.
And then all of a sudden that dropped. But what was the UFO involvement there? What did he actually see or discover or?
Well, it wasn't much as he discovered. It was all these eyewitness accounts over Sunrise Highway, which is a main vein or artery that runs, you know, east to west for most of the length of Long Island. So it wasn't so much what he saw. It was all these other eyewitnesses' accounts of a cigar-shaped glowing craft that seemed to be out of control, spinning across, you know, Sunrise Highway. This is during rush hour as people are coming home from work. Okay, and like a instant flash, all of a sudden you got the black helicopter showing up, cordoning off all the main exits and rerouting everybody around. Okay, what was interesting about it was that whatever was going on with the UFO crash just so happened to coincide with the dirty politics of Suffolk County. And henceforth what Peter Moon mentioned before about John Powell and the illegal dumping in South Haven Park, as well as other parts of Suffolk County and Nassau County all across Long Island. So here you have a UFO crash that all of a sudden blows up in everybody's face. Now it becomes apparent that special forces as well as firefighters are going to get involved. Now you're opening up a can of worms on something that was supposed to be kept quiet, because wherever that UFO did crash, now all of a sudden you got people poking around looking at other illegal shenanigans going on, such as the toxic dumping. And here's where the two stories collide head on into each other.
I see. Now he's been in jail
facility.
Institution,
yeah,
for 16 years.
That's correct.
That's insane.
Does he ever does he have regular hearings or what?
Yeah,
happened?
Well, he had a hearing yesterday, and
Peter, maybe you can explain the hearing that he had yesterday.
Yes, and I also want to mention that if you go to either the website and blog that I have or that Rick Smith has, there are two different blogs, but you in either one you can find the John Ford press release in its entirety. Written, you know, over 10 years ago, which explains the whole situation of his arrest and the UFO crash and the eyewitnesses that were seen and suppressed. And, my website blog is digitalmontauk.com, digital just like it's MONTAUK.com, and Rick's is the John Ford Initiative. Is it .com, Rick?
It is UFOteacher.com. /John Ford, and that is the official John Ford Initiative there, UFOteacher.com/John Ford.
Okay, so before I get the update, I just want to say that John's case was postponed, not settled, by him accepting an incompetent plea, so Suffolk County has the right to try him on the charges if they decide that he's competent. So they can, make him have to pay for an attorney. If he were to be released and they said, you're competent, then they can still try him again because they have these charges of conspiracy to commit murder with radium, which is a totally ridiculous thing, and we won't go up that angle right now. But anyway, yesterday he was supposed to have a hearing. Every 2 years for the last several years, he's gotten a hearing to say, is he okay to release from this clinic, which would either release him into more of a more mild institute or release him totally to the street, in which case he would be okay because he does have a pension and he would get his Social Security, which now goes to the institute. So he would have an income and he would have a place to stay. So releasing him would not be a great burden upon anyone. Now, basically, they postponed this hearing for several weeks, claiming that the psychologist or shrink did not have enough familiarity with the case. They postponed it for a while. They finally had it yesterday. And John spoke to me, not yesterday, on the 2nd, 2 days ago, and John spoke to me, I guess it was yesterday, and he said that it was a half, 50% win, because basically, he called it a split decision. And the psychologist got on the stand and said that he was delusional because of his belief in UFOs and his belief that he was involved with the CIA and the Mossad. And I should add that John was a CIA asset at St. John's, where he did work for them for love of his country. He did not get paid. And I have a personal attorney, by the way, which means he's an officer of the court. And he was – they tried to recruit people all over at St. John's. He was a freshman when John was a senior. He remembers the CIA recruitment going on there. So it's not a stretch to believe that John was involved with the CIA at that time in the Cold War espionage days. And he also believed he was involved with the Mossad, which is a whole other story you can read in the report. So on cross-examination, John's attorney asked if the psychologist had ever contacted the Mossad or CIA to verify his claims. The answer was no. Okay, the prosecution asked John about his UFO research and cited different examples. They then asked him if he had any proof. And John says, yes, he had several witnesses, at which point the prosecution just shut up because they didn't want to pursue it any further. They also tried to get evidence admitted of pictures of all these guns that were allegedly on his property. He says, I can't recognize those guns. I don't have that many guns. One or two might be. So they couldn't admit planted evidence that they tried to plant into the court procedures to make him look dangerous. The judge ruled that John was not delusional by reason of his belief in UFOs, as there are many popular TV programs and a lot of people believe in UFOs. He did, however, say that his belief in working for the Mossad and CIA showed him to be delusional. And I find this very interesting because I don't think the judge contacted the Mossad or the CIA either. He was retained for another 2 years at Mid-Hudson, and so it was yes for UFOs, no for intelligence agencies. Now, this ruling was anticipated by John and his attorney because they didn't expect to get off, and they will request a jury trial, which he has a right to. And I should add that John's attorney is an expert in the mental health laws, and she has pointed out that John, they were trying to change his belief system, not treat him for mental illness. They were trying to change his belief system, which is belief in UFOs and belief that he was involved in intelligence agencies. And they will have a jury trial, he says, by September, October. It will begin, and this will be a very extensive examination determined by a jury of whether he is competent to be released from this institute. That's where we stand right now.
Do you really believe that will happen?
Oh, there will be a trial. There will be a trial, yeah. The trial is not... And the Suffolk County prosecution has actually asked, they said, well, if he's released, they asked the judge to rule that, this is a month ago or so, to rule that he not be allowed to continue his investigation into UFOs. And the judge ruled that as, no, that's, you can't take away his rights. They actually wanted to stop him from investigating UFOs if he be released. They wanted to get a ruling on that, a preliminary ruling.
John told me that he was waiting until next week, but they'll have a final date where they can go to trial, a trial date. But that's coming next week.
How is he paying for an attorney after 16 years of being held?
Well, I will tell you how he's paying for an attorney. And this is a very interesting story. The way he met this particular attorney, who is sympathetic to UFO causes, as I understand, I haven't spoken to her, and she was paid for by the A&E network, who was going to do a whole documentary on this and, you know, blow the cover off of it and say, wow, this is a great reality TV. I mean, they paid for her and they got her onto the case. And then they back down from it. And the reason media backs down from everything is because they have higher-ups telling them what to do. I mean, this is a compelling case. So it's left to the scrap heaps, to people like me, who is not considered a mainstream journalist, and Rick, who is not considered a mainstream journalist either, and who have a personal interest. I'm not a UFO investigator or even a writer, but it does bridge into the world. You know, I write primarily about time, but it certainly does bridge into that. And of course, I knew John personally, and he was a colleague of Preston's, who I know quite well. So I have some sympathy for him. But A&E dropped it like a hot potato, and the attorney did it pro bono for a while, and now she gives him a reduced rate, and he does have money from his pension that he's been able to accumulate. The Social Security money goes right into the coffers of the Institute, but they can't touch his pension. So he does have a little bit of money to pay his attorney, and that's where that, to answer your question.
Well, Peter, when I talk with him, he says, you know, I could use another $6,000 to hire additional attorneys that are needed, I think, for the work that needs to be done. You know, it's just a matter of getting up enough money to do that. But that was one alternative that he wanted and needed to do. But first of all, I think it was just waiting for the trial date and take it one step at a time and go for it.
What's very interesting as I listened to John's telling of what happened, it's very interesting because there's a part of John that wants to put UFOs on trial, and there's a part of him that does. That's my personal observation. And I've told him, and obviously I think that the prosecution wants to put them on trial to some extent to hold them up to ridicule, but what I said to him, the UFO thing won't be so problematic. It's the CIA and the Mossad that is very problematic, because by the nature of the CIA and the Mossad, you can't prove that you're a member of them unless they tell you you are, or, you know, have a, you know, paycheck or whatnot, and these are not paid for things. So I told him he must stress that while he has been led to believe that he was participating with the CIA and the Mossad, he has no actual proof, and he must state that it's speculative. But he's been led to believe it for the following reasons, although he can't prove it, so he therefore doesn't know, because they want to use that to, you know, hang him with, because he can't prove it.
Well, if he can't, yeah, well, I can understand that in a way, but what was his involvement with Mossad? I can understand the CIA because they're so big, but the Mossad, how did he get involved with them, and what would he do for them?
Well, there's a character that you'll read about in the report, if you read it, which is a long 100-page report in his handwriting, is there was a character named Joseph Mazzucchelli who appeared on the scene in a very questionable time period. There was a lady named Diane McDonald who two hypnotherapists had run into, or I think she worked in their office as a receptionist, and she told them about this used car dealer who saw the UFO, actually, and his brother worked in the FBI, and she was told this story all about the UFO crash, and that the politicians were setting fires for on behalf of the government, because they were setting fires to hide the crash. They didn't want people coming near. And by the time this guy got out there, there was police, or not military, not police, and helicopters. And then allegedly the local politicians were having fires set all over the place south of Sunrise Highway to get the real estate. This is Pine Barren stuff. So this was one of the controversies that they don't want being looked into, and the fires have been very underreported on what really happened. So John, this girl, Diane McDonald, he had audio testimony of what she had seen, she disappeared. She disappeared. And after she disappeared, and there was some sort of threat that happened, I think John was run off the road or something, very suspiciously, and then this character, Joseph Mazzucchelli, appears, and he is a very bizarre character who has ties to the mob. We do know that he was a paid informant for the Suffolk County District Attorney's Office, and he seemed to be working for undercover for the Suffolk County authorities. He claimed he seemed to have a mob uncle. He was affiliated with the Mossad, he claimed. And there was elaborate setups to demonstrate to John that these was a Mossad operation that wanted to tell the truth about UFOs. Mazzucchelli even told him he had diplomatic immunity, whether John was involved with the Mossad or not, there was a guy actively feeding him this data that he was and giving him demonstrable evidence that there was a connection. Now, from looking from the outside, I wouldn't be convinced that these were Mossad characters at all, but I would be convinced there was an elaborate sting and entrapment operation on John Ford that involved secret operations, at least from Suffolk County, perhaps the government, CIA, and it's even possible the Mossad was involved, because I think there was probably a Jewish person or two involved that had, you know, the strong Hebrew accent. I don't really know. But John was immersed in this stuff. I'm on the outside looking in, so I can't be as convinced. But John was living this life with staged events and whatnot that he could now see were staged. But at the time, he was being set up. Who would go to this elaborate setup? John had also been approached by some strange, very rich person who offered him, I think it was a $10 million certified check, drove him out in a limo somewhere to some mansion, had somebody pick him up, and wanted to fund his organization because his granddaughter had an abduction. He showed her photos, and he trusted John to look into it. John didn't trust this man and his $10 million check, which he did not receive. And when he did not take that bait, that's when Joseph Mazzucchelli appeared. That's how it happened. So this is, it's elaborate ridiculousness. Why would so much energy and effort get into getting rid of John Ford? And I will also say about John Ford, whatever you think of this guy, he is a very thorough, exhaustive investigator. And because he has a background in politics, he knows how to rile the feathers of certain forces in society. So he makes a lot of motion. I write about very controversial topics, but I don't go into the politics, and I don't go at that level. He does, and it creates a lot of commotion.
Well, it didn't turn out well for him, did it, at all?
No, it did not, and it may well turn, and this is why, you know, we're all spending time on the radio to make it known, and I think this is coming up for a reason. I don't think this is coming up 16 years later just so he can be locked back in. I call him the Nelson Mandela of UFO disclosure.
It's your
son.
If I can jump in here in a minute.
Go ahead, George.
Go ahead, George.
You know, I like to complete the understanding with Rick Smith, how Rick became involved with this. When I spoke with John, John and I, years ago, we used to do TV and radio together. You know, I would, you know, promote his organization. And
did we lose George?
George?
Hey, George.
We lost George. Well, maybe Rick better start talking.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. When I was saying before, when
hey, hello.
And there George you is are. Back.
You guys
all
ready?
Right.
You, we got. We lost you, George.
No, I got another New York caller here. I don't know who that is,
maybe they have a question. Let's ask.
Yeah.
All right.
631, you're on the air. Hello?
Do you have a question, 631-909-1383?
Guess not.
We can't hear him. Let him know we can't hear him.
Let me continue with Rick here.
He's there. Hello? Yeah, it's okay. He's not talking, so. No, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Go ahead, George.
When I spoke with John, I told him, you know, if there's anything that I could do or pass on, because, you know, we've been doing this radio, Friday night radio, for years. And he told me, he says, no, I'd just like you to try to get in contact with these cable people in, I think, in Queens. And, you know, John has been away from the outside world for 16 years, and he doesn't understand that it's global now. It's not, you know, Long Island or
right.
neck of the woods. And I'm not getting old, but I'm, you know, I got a lot of things going on right now, and I really couldn't give him, the help that he did need. And I think getting his story out, and I've known Rick, I've been following his work for years. And Rick, you know, would, just because you don't hear from me, I remember some of the packages you used to send me and ask me for your advice. I read it all and just gobbled it right up. And watched how, over the years, you know, how much understanding you have. You know, I can get mushy now, but I knew you would do a good job, Rick. And I figured maybe you can help John in promoting his activity. And I wasn't sure, you know, if you knew John. And little did I know that, you know, you were part of the organization for a little bit of time. But here again, so was I for a little bit of time. But I always had a personal relationship with John. And that's what drew me into seeking him and, you know, seeing if there's anything that I could do for him. And you have done a superb job, my friend. And, you know, my hat goes off to you. And I think, you know, the angels above, you know, have given you, you know, the direction that you needed, and you're doing it. And thank you. Thank you and thank you. So that's how Rick was pulled into this operandi, if you want to call it that way. And really, you know, it's just trying to look at the frustration that, you know, it gives me. And, you know, it's a catch-22. You're damned if you do and damned if you don't, because, you know, that's the way things are. But there's got to be a way. And, you know, on this show, we've been talking about the Mayan calendar and watching consciousness and, you know, how we, you know, we do control the world around us. And Peter, you know, it's that reality that who we are is reflected in the direction, you know, that we're directed, and it's the intent.
Thank you very much there, George. I do appreciate that there.
I wanted to ask you guys, I was just reading, Peter, I was just looking at, I've looked at both your websites, and I was looking at the updates you have on Ford. But to me, I mean, I know there's a, I haven't seen the petition on either of your sites, but how many names does he have to get in order for it to be, for it to go through or to...
He already got a hearing.
Well, you got a hearing.
Yeah, the petition's right there on the main website, ufoteacher.com/John Ford. You see the banner at the top.
Okay.
Click here, sign now. Bam. Right now we have 93 people on board signed with it. The first milestone was the first 50. Because you got to figure, when George came to me with this, and I started going into dialogue with both Peter and George, just, you know, catching up on all the information that is now flooding into me.
They're coming from all over the world, Australia,
yes.
Germany.
Well, everybody. These people are started.
Yes,
people from all over the place are signing on
all
here
over.
In ways that had never happened before, and that was because here was the hang-up. 16 years ago, what was the one thing that didn't really exist? It was the Internet, okay? 16 years later, here we have, I have a giant social media arsenal at my disposal, which I, you know, I told both Peter and George. I would be marshaling everything at my disposal to focus on this. You'll see if you go to UFOteacher.com, there's not one page you can go to on my website that doesn't have something on it about the petition, about John Ford, aside from the main page that was set up as the central headquarters. Peter Moon has his, the Montauk, the digitalmontauk.com dedicated to this as well.
So what do you ask people when they sign this petition? You're talking about a petition, but the folks listening don't know what you want from this petition. What is the objective?
The objective is to free them and get them out of there after 16 years, and there is not one psychologist or psychiatrist that you could talk to worth their salt whose jaw will not hit the floor when you tell them what the circumstances are of this guy being locked up for 16 years.
Mm-hmm.
Every psychologist and psychiatrist, their reaction across the board is, what in flaming hell is going on there? Okay? That's
the
reaction.
Prosecutor's shrink, he said, or Peter was saying, said that the guy was still delusional.
That's what John said. She said, and she doesn't even really know him that well, but because he believes in UFOs and because he believes in the Mossad, it wasn't he's delusional because he does this, that, and the other thing. They also cited the fact that because he never got married, that he has a problem being intimate with women, which was a real slap on the face, he said, because he'd been engaged several times. It just never quite worked out. And so I'm saying is that's kind of irrelevant to...
That's a little tough.
Yeah.
It's a little tough to get intimate when you've been sitting in an insane asylum for 16 years. But,
of course.
Hard to develop relationships.
Hard to develop
relationships. Right, unless it's over the phone, once a day for 20 minutes. So... these are all the tactics that come straight out of George Orwell's 1984. I mean, it's just history repeating itself over again. And they're using it on him because they are terrified right up to the state level and right up to the federal level of having the UFO issue come out like this now. And, of course, now you've got this, like Peter Moon said, this Malcolm X, Nelson Mandela scenario here that has grown such a tidal wave over 16 years, they have to let him out now. Even though what they're terrified of is that he will turn around and sue their asses for, $8.5 or more million. But so be it.
If I could break in for a second, what you're saying is right. But I think first things first, let's get him the hell out of that place.
I know. Let's get him out.
And then we could entertain him, and he'll entertain us, I'm sure. But,
anyone who's coming into it, like you had asked, Leo, the explanation is right on the petition. The explanation is right on the main headquarters, ufoteacher.com/John Ford, all right? Here is the deadline, and I have this listed everywhere, May 22nd. This is our goal to shoot for. Grab as many signatures as we possibly can. This petition is being mailed out to every politician in Suffolk County and also at the New York State level, the Assembly and the Senate and the Governor, as well as at the federal level, as many congressional representatives and the President as we can grab. Okay? May 22nd. So who's ever listening to this show, if you're part of the UFO community, shame on you if you haven't signed the petition yet. This has been 16 years in the making.
That bothers me, Rick. It really does, I mean,
it does.
Where the hell are you out there, friends?
I know.
These people,
I've known about this for forever, okay?
Yeah.
And now, I have targeted everybody in MUFON. And to their credit, a small portion of them have signed on to the petition, and I say thank you to them because I communicate with them through the petition.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm always sending out announcements there. But there's 90% of the people in MUFON, that's the Mutual UFO Network, and yes, that's the one I'm talking about, MUFON, who have not gotten their collective heads out of their collective asses about this and gotten on board with this. Now, I know Peter Moon can chime in on that and give you his opinion on that too. But the point is this. I mean, if we just put MUFON aside, there's a whole boatload of independent, high-profile researchers, people who I would like to name right now just to nail their ass to the wall, who have not signed on to that petition either, and I have targeted them in any number of emails as well. Where the hell are they? There's people right on Long Island who are involved in both metaphysical, spiritual, and the paranormal community and the UFO community who are going about their business, sending out some crap about a charity, about saving a pet or adopting a pet. Meanwhile, I'm talking about a man's life for 16 years down the friggin' tube that he can't get back, and they're ignoring my emails. Now, this is the type of asinine mentality that goes on in the paranormal community, the UFO community, the supernatural community, the metaphysical community. Everybody is a selfish bastard.
Let me say something about that.
Okay, do you happen to know anybody who is a celebrity who is interested in UFOs?
Oh, there's big-time celebrities involved. That's Dan Aykroyd.
Well, why don't you appeal to him?
I have. Okay. And MUFON knows exactly how to get in touch with him. And Dan Aykroyd has refused to make an appearance and, you know, basically get his ass in gear here and sign on with this.
Let me say something about this.
I got to ask this because I haven't signed it either, and I just learned about it. George, when you mentioned it, I don't know, maybe 4 or 5 months ago, and you brought it up, but I had no
understanding
of what the guy. You know, to me, I don't know John Ford from anybody, but it's like me to sign your petition, not knowing who the hell he is. And the guy's been in an insane asylum for 16 years, threatening to kill a guy with radium, blah, 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 blah. It's just like, even though the story, the story is really bizarre, but
it could frighten a lot of people.
There are a lot of people
sitting in that UFO world there that are researching things that are, getting... they're probably a little too close to the government for comfort, to have their names on a petition like that probably bother them and say, Jesus, I don't want to race.
Well, those people I have no sympathy for, and here's the reason why. This country is a democratic republic. We have a constitution. And I know that sounds academic, but that's the argument that has to be made. And here's the reason why. We wouldn't be where we are today. Regardless of him being in there for 16 years, we wouldn't be where we are today if people like Malcolm X and Martin Luther King didn't take a bullet for the rest of us. Now, if they were willing to take a bullet, okay, where are all these, UFO researchers who have known what's been going on with this, who 16 years ago ran for cover like a bunch of damn cowards when they found out what happened to John Ford because they were afraid of it happening to them? But this is not what this country was founded on. This is not what the founding fathers fought for. Okay? You got George Washington marching into a hail of bullets into a mini battle.
What this basically is I'm dealing with here, because I'm looking at it from my own perspective as a guy who's thinking about signing this petition.
Right.
For someone I don't know, okay? And I'm just
you're going to have to do what I did, and you're going to have to spend 2 weeks to get to know about it.
And
okay.
Just let me complete this, but I haven't met the guy. I don't know anything about it, and all I'm hearing is bizarre stories. And anybody who's telling me that he's involved with the freaking Mossad, I don't have any sympathy for a guy like that. Come on, or the CIA. So I mean, I honest to God, am really reluctant to get involved with this guy's release. Praise the Lord, and hopefully he gets released. But I haven't got enough proof to convince myself.
Well, right? let me say something, Leo.
This guy is for real.
Let me say something about this. What is outrageous and egregious about this case?
Yeah.
Is the fact that it's a violation of the real outrage here is it's a violation of the Constitution, the law for habeas corpus, which means, you know, you can't be incarcerated. He was incarcerated for a year without a trial before he ever got declared incompetent. So, you know, it's not really what is the merit of this guy.
It's
the merit of the system and the system failing. That is the real issue here, and that's what the petition should not be on UFOs or whether or the it's not the Mossad or the CIA or even John Ford that's really on trial in this specific reference frame. It is the due process of the Constitution. This is what people should be outraged and aggrieved about. This
I don't much agree with you on that, but at the same time, living in a situation in a period of time now where they take this MSM, I forget his name, the guy who you know, they waterboarded 190 times, all right, the Al Qaeda dude, all right, and you know, they didn't even try him for anything. They just grabbed him and forced confession out. They arrested 200 or 300 Muslims in New York City after 9/11 and put them in detention centers for over a year, right?
With
no trial, no hearing, no nothing, no phone calls. People, they just disappeared. So what? I'm not saying that's right. I'm not saying that
that's martial law. That's martial law. Whether it was invoked or properly done or not, that was in effect martial law. And
martial law or Jacob's law. It's irrelevant, okay, in a case like this. But it's happening everywhere now, right? We've been yelling about
Patriot Act. That's
yeah. No, we've been yelling about this on our show for the last 8 years. Okay, 10 years almost now. All right. Between a regular program, this program, television, we've talked about this. We've been adamant about it and trying to expose it. But, you know, those details are out there. They understand. John Ford, unfortunately, his the details of John Ford are covered up in, you know, county politics and everything else. And, you know, people from the outside of New York are outside of Suffolk County, or people who aren't even have no clue this, are going to be very reluctant to support this, only because they don't know anything about it, you know, and it's so alien in that, and I say that with, you know, in all fairness.
No pun intended.
No,
but,
okay.
Yeah,
no, I understand that, but here's the thing.
Attack everybody, like, you know, and I'm used to doing that, trust me. But, you know, before you call everybody a bonehead, you know, and a hypocrite and everything else, you got to look at it and say, well, who, you know, how close were they to John Ford? You know, how do they know? What did they?
How close were they to Trayvon Martin?
Well, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I agree with that. But
how
I mean,
close were they to you know, this kid who got shot? I mean, 50,000 people have signed on to that petition.
This is why we're having the discussion to bring it forward.
I fully understand that. I fully agree to it.
I think what Leo was saying was relevant in that, but what he was talking about is the events that he was talking about were post Patriot Act. What happened to John Ford happened pre-Patriot Act, when we thought that people had rights.
Yeah.
So that's why it's so outrageous.
Exactly.
Years ago, we were led to believe that we did have some rights.
Well, let me just say something. Remember, you just mentioned the media. Well, A&E backed off of this, and they backed off of it because they were told to back off of it because it's a very hot story. And so when you get to the major levels of celebrity, you will find that there is I know people who follow the celebrities very closely, and it's the MK Ultra factor, which when you get into the high volume of celebrity, like we had a high, very profile celebrity who's an East Indian. And because David Anderson's research is in India, he took a great interest. He's a doctor to the celebrities, not going to say his name. But he dialogued with Dr. Anderson and basically took all the scientific information, and he basically wanted to know what was going on, that he couldn't know what was going on. And he turned down Dr. Anderson because he's a sellout. In other words, he was provided information far beyond what most people would get, and he turned it down and just went stone cold silent. In other words, the world of celebrity is just an extension of the controls that are put on the world. So it's not surprising. I also wanted to say earlier that one of the non-responsive issues, or why people are involved in issues that don't seem as important as this, are because most people in our society are oriented to being self-serving. It's the way our society works, and at the top of the food chain, the politicians are completely self-serving. This has even been brought up, and this was what the real Occupy Wall Street stuff was about. So we live in a self-serving society that is not a community in many respects.
Right.
There is, and this is one of the problems inherent in our system that is going to have to change if the world is going to make it through the next step of evolution. It has to become more community-oriented.
In the John Ford case, I think you're right.
And we should take care of and care about what happens to someone like John Ford. And I hope that something can be done about it. My question to George is, who just visited him, how did you find his physical state, and how did you find him mentally and emotionally?
Oh, okay. I wanted to say something before. My last visit with John, I found him as being very sociable, very much John. And I'm going back years ago. I had a business relationship with John, with his UFO research, but I also had a personal relationship with John and his mother. And for years, I used to sit down and have a cup of coffee or a cup of tea with him. And, it was like a personal relationship. But, of course, John had his ways, and I had mine, and mine was basically neutral as being a researcher. I didn't take sides. And even though on the Center of Riches crash, I led the investigating team on that. That was in 1989. But when it came to South Haven crash, John sat me down with another associate that worked with me, and he spent 3 hours and showed us the evidence and everything that he had with South Haven. And, it was very impressive, very, very impressive. But, I couldn't give John my support. I just couldn't do it because I didn't know enough. And I think it was just this pressure thing that was going on. And I don't get involved with politics. And I stayed away from that. But, the rest is history.
I understand that, George. I just wanted to mention that we're recording now. We lost our live stream because it went past the 9 o'clock hour. But I wanted to mention that, Peter, I wanted to talk about your book, but I'd really like to have you back on another show if that's possible.
That's totally possible.
Because what's the name of your new book, by the way?
Mystery of Egypt, the First Tunnel. And, it might be good that you and George get to look at it before we do that show, which...
Yes, I'd like to do that, Peter, and I will.
I was overwhelmed by the last two, and...
They were fabulous.
Yeah, they were really different, and I'm really looking forward to the new one. And, Rich, I wanted to help promote your show there a little bit, as much as we could, UFOteacher.com. I looked at your site.
Okay.
Great.
And we wish you all
the best.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
We're You know, I'm considering seriously signing your petition. I, Peter, I trust what you're saying, and of course, George, I would really, really like to meet this guy before, and if there's more we can do for him or decide, you know,
well,
whatever.
Yeah, that's a very good possibility there.
Yes.
You know, that shouldn't be
yes.
a problem.
We can work more with him on that, and you, Rich, and of course, Peter. And
that would be wonderful.
Help him out, but I'd really like to know more about him and more about the.
I hope he can get his book out, and I hope the.
Oh yeah.
Book, what's happened to him?
I hope that's the first thing he does when he gets out is write that book.
I hope so.
Will he be writing it with you, Peter, or no?
Well, it has to be determined. First, we got to get him out.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, that's
you know,
good.
I will say that he had a lot of, media swirling him around him. You know, this is something that a big media company might want to swirl up. But, you know, most of the things I write about are stuff that big media companies won't touch. So that'll say enough. If I end up helping him with it, it'll tell you a lot about they don't want to touch it with a 10-foot pole.
Right. No, I can understand that. But, you know, at the same time, it's something that, you know, sounds like it's got to come out. And I appreciate it.
I look forward to reading a book like that.
Yeah,
I may
really be the culprit on this.
It'd be kind of pretty bizarre to see the guy. But I'd love to be able to see him get out and sue them. But what they'll probably
do... And write a book.
They'll probably put a disclaimer on his, some kind of a... You know, you can't sue us because of wrongful imprisonment or something and let him out.
He's got to get out first.
Well, he's got to get out.
That's his first
right.
challenge, and that's a huge hurdle to overcome. But from what you're saying, it seems a little promising these days, and I do hope it happens for him.
It's promising on two counts.
George, will make some arrangements with you to make that visit.
Sounds like a good idea.
There's no problem there.
Right.
You know, things are happening, and I think somebody would put odds on this, you know, one in a billion or whatever. But, you know, it could happen. And other people who are whistleblowers or whatever have spent, a good part of their life away, but something has saved them, you know, and that's what we need here. We need an intervention somewhere, and if nothing else, it's knowledge now. Other situation, but you know, there's also another way, and that's with just thoughtful prayers, you know, good prayers. And I think that's another way of dealing with this. And you know, we've been talking, Leo and Lila, you know, about being co-creators and
mm-hmm.
in this Mayan period. That basically is what we've done, is that we've drawn to ourselves and created the illusion of the reality that we've been putting together in the last, let's say, 10 years. I mean, it's been there for a while, but it's changed to a point where this time that we're coming to, you know, the Earth is making its changes, and we're being affected by it. So, you know, and anything could happen, but, you know, we do have the ability to change reality. You know, but all we have to do is believe it, and we will. And with John, there's a way to get his ass out of there, and whatever it is, we'll find it and get him out. That's all I can say about this.
Definitely.
And on that note, we should probably close our show,
even though
we have a little bit.
I want to thank you very much, guys, for being on with us. And, I really want to discuss your book. Hopefully we can get a copy of it in the next week or so.
And then we'll
have you on right away.
To discuss that.
And Rich, good luck with your site. Good luck with the petition, and wish you the best. I saw some of your artwork on there, too. It was pretty interesting stuff.
Very good. You're a talented guy.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. Thank you. So thank you for having me on the show there, and you guys have a great evening, okay?
Thank you so much. So good night, Rich.
Hi, guys.
Good night,
Peter. And good night. Happy
with you, my friends.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
And 631, You've been hanging out all night there, but
good night.
I haven't said anything, but we thank you for being here.
And thanks for listening, folks.
Yes.
And we'll talk to you again on Tuesday.
Yeah. So good night, everyone. And, yeah, we'll talk to you again on Tuesday.